shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Hear the words from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. A letter from a former pastor of your congregation. You fools, who has pulled the wool over your eyes so that you no longer accept the truth I preach to you? I'm amazed that you've been moved away so soon from Christ to a different gospel. But even if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what I have preached to you, let him be damned. That was St. Paul writing to the Christians in Galatia. He wrote another letter like that On the first page, he wrote, "When I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." He refers to some criticism from some in the congregation. "For his letters," they say, "are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." And that was from his letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul has endured a great deal of criticism about his preaching and his writing, about his lack of rhetorical skill. He doesn't seem to be able to relate to people in their life situations. It's too hard to understand what he says. And one can imagine what other trivia was the object of their dissatisfaction, including some remarks about his stuttering and his personal mannerisms. But now there have come along some who have preached a different message, probably more eloquently, and probably which seems to relate better to the people. And many of them have fallen for it. A different Jesus and a different gospel, Paul says it is. They may speak of Jesus, indeed, they probably do, but their gospel, even if it's filled with a lot of talk about Jesus, points the believers away from Jesus' righteous life and obedience in their place, and it points the hearers to themselves, to their own obedient life, to their feelings, either of sorrow or dependence on a vague power. They're pointed to the law, to things that they must do to have a relationship with God. That's a different Jesus. That's a different gospel. And they accept it very readily. They easily put up with it. In Galatia, it was the so-called Judaizers who wanted to compel Christians, Jew and Gentile, to observance of the Old Testament ceremonies and rituals, the ones which had, as Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, been nailed to the cross with Jesus. For the Corinthians, it was to mix their Christian worship with the rituals of the heathen, including the heathen practice of speaking gibberish and then calling it the tongues of angels. Jesus warned against such people when he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Jesus attributes false preaching, false doctrine, to the work of the devil himself. A few weeks ago, the chaplain assigned me to preach on the first three commandments all at once. Today, he's asked me to preach on those first three commandments again. How's that? Well, that's what this text is all about. Teaching that does not conform to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is forbidden by the first table of the law. Have no other gods. Do not take God's name in vain. And keep the day of rest holy, that is, blessed are you who hear the word of God and keep it. The same Satan who tempted Adam and Eve to be as gods, who tempted Jesus in the wilderness, is the author of all that opposes the simple gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Christ alone. St. Paul likens this to the devil's temptation of Eve. He says, he tried to persuade her away from the simplicity of God's command. The serpent said, "You shall not surely die. Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." And Paul points out that by Satan's craftiness, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, what is the temptation that is set before us? It is always to deny the simple truth that Jesus is the Savior from sin, wholly and completely, that his righteousness is ours through faith alone, that God promises to make us his children, not because of what we do, not because of our genes, not because of the way we behave, but by his grace alone, through his powerful word and sacraments. When you suppose that you are the one who invites Jesus into your life, or that your work, good works and your good intentions move God to love you, then you have a different Jesus, and you have a different gospel. Most of you have read in your first year religion class the collection of stories entitled Hammer of God by Swedish theologian Bo Yeats. Yeats shows people, especially some young pastors, under the spirit of different times, being tempted away from the simplicity of the pure gospel. He points, an older pastor on one occasion points out to young pastor Friedfeld that there are two different religions. He says, it is one thing to choose Jesus as one's Lord and Savior and commit oneself to him. It's a very different thing to believe in him as a redeemer of sinners, of whom one is chief. And that represents those two religions. In each of the three young pastors in Hammer of God, human work, will, desire, good intentions, striving to be holy, or something else, was always being added to the gospel, so that the gospel proclaimed a different Jesus. It proclaimed another gospel. The gospel for last Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, described Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. He withstood that temptation for us in our place. But Satan continues to assault his assault against the body of Christ, now against you, brothers and sisters of Christ. We give in to those temptations exactly when we think that we have the spiritual strength to stand up to them. But in faith, we believe the promise that he holds us up in the face of temptation, that he continues to forgive our sin, just as he has said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And we hear again his promise, "I will give my angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hand, lest you dash your foot against a stone." God be with us. Amen. A prayer today has been requested for John Haugen, the father of Jeff Haugen, who is undergoing tests for leukemia. Let us rise and pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on behalf of your child, John Haugen. May your gracious hand be with him and the members of his family through these challenging days. Grant wisdom and ability to those who now provide him with medical care, that by their efforts he may return to good health, if it is your will. Above all, give him a firm faith in your gracious promises of salvation, which you so freely give us in your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Spirit be with you all. Amen.